welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm looking at different events around the cross this week as we are moving towards Easter weekend, and am wanting to just kind of cover what are maybe some misconceptions or controversies. What does the Bible really teach about some of these things? And so I'm looking at what happened to Jesus after he died on the cross. There is a famous creed that says he descended into hell. Well, what does that mean? Well, there are three basic views. One view is that he descended into hell to suffer in hell in our place for our sins. I do not think that is the right interpretation. I will explain why. A second view is that he descended into hell in order to rescue the saints, the righteous, who were there not suffering, but who were there being held in sort of a different compartment in hell where the wicked suffer, the righteous are just waiting for Jesus to come and bring them out of hell and into heaven. I also do not think that is the correct view. A third view would be that Jesus' body, his body simply went into the grave, into Sheol, into Hades, and then came back out. And that he did not suffer there, he didn't rescue people there. He actually, in his spirit, just like believers today when they die, he was with God in heaven and then physically ascended on the third day. Well, one of the key verses in talking about this, well, first, of course, obviously, at the moment Jesus dies, the Bible records that Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And so, okay, that sounds like Jesus is now going to be in the presence of the Father, not going somewhere else. But the other key passage is 1 Peter chapter 3, which says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built." All right, now, what is going on in this passage? It seems like Peter may be describing that Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, that he, through the Spirit, went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, that somehow he descended into Hades or hell, and he preached to spirits in prison. Now, I would just point out a couple things. First of all, this verse does not say that Jesus suffered in any way. If this indeed is a place he went where there were imprisoned spirits, he didn't suffer for our sin there. You're not going to find anything in the Bible that talks about that. Isaiah 53 talks about he was crushed for our iniquity, bruised for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Well, that sounds very much like, and the other things in Isaiah 53 are talking about Jesus' death on the cross. I don't believe that there was any additional suffering Jesus needed to undergo once he died on the cross. Jesus, even from the cross, said, "It is finished." And Jesus said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." This idea that Jesus somehow suffers in hell after he dies, I think is maybe a misunderstanding of what is in the Apostles' Creed, that he descended into hell. And the idea is, well, if he went into hell, he must have been suffering in hell. But that's not what the Apostles' Creed ever intended by that word. The Apostles' Creed has in mind this realm of the dead, okay? And so there's no biblical support whatsoever that Jesus suffers in hell for our sins after he dies on the cross. There's no need for him to. The Bible's quite clear that his death on the cross paid for our sin. And so there's just no reason to go there. And I think you run into all kinds of dangerous problems when you do. You create some problems because it's not what the Bible teaches. So what about this second viewpoint that, Jesus went there to rescue, so to speak, the righteous out of Hades. They weren't suffering in Hades, but they needed to be brought out and brought into heaven. Well, That also is not what the Bible says about Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus simply says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus tells the thief on the cross, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise, which I would take to mean that Jesus is going to be in paradise that day. Now, you might say, well, first he went down into Hades, brought the righteous up, and that day he was back in heaven with the righteous. Okay, but the text itself doesn't say anything about all that. So the only place you might find that is in 1 Peter chapter 3. But notice who it is that Jesus goes to preach to in 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah. So in other words, this passage cannot be used to support the idea that Jesus went down into Hades to rescue the righteous. This verse only talks about Jesus going to preach to the wicked. All right, so I don't think there's any biblical support for either the interpretation that God suffered in hell or the idea that he went to rescue the righteous. I think the righteous were already in the presence of God spiritually. Remember, the Bible, Jesus talks about a great chasm between the righteous and the wicked, and the wicked are in torment, I believe, awaiting judgment. I don't think that's the final hell. I believe that is what Peter refers to here, this place awaiting judgment, imprisoned spirits. Whereas the righteous are in the presence of God in what we would call heaven. Now, that also isn't the final heaven. There's going to be a coming of the new heavens and new earth in the future. But they are in their spirits awaiting the resurrection and in the presence of God. And I don't think anything changes in that status before and after Jesus' death. I think that Jesus himself is spiritually present with God in heaven after he dies, and then physically rises from the dead and ascends so that he's now physically and spiritually in the presence of God in heaven. So what is going on here in 1 Peter? Well, that's a very interesting question. I've seen one commentator once say that there are 21 different interpretations of what's going on here in 1 Peter. One of the mysteries about this passage is that it doesn't say that Jesus went and made proclamation to imprisoned spirits, to all of them. You know, it's not that he went and preached to all the people, the wicked, for instance, all the unrighteous throughout history. No, it says he went to make proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah. So he's specifically said by Peter to preach to the wicked who were destroyed in the flood. That's a pretty specific group of wicked. You know, in other words, what about all the people who were wicked, you know, after the flood? Did Jesus not make proclamation to them? Why would that be? Why does he preach to this specific group? Well, I think there's an answer to that question. I think that it depends on how you interpret the passage. Is Peter talking about something Jesus did in between his death on the cross and the resurrection from the dead? Or is Peter talking about something Jesus did at an earlier time, namely during the days of Noah in the flood? I think that that's the best way to make sense of this passage that answers all of these unusual questions. I think Peter is simply saying that Jesus was made alive, he was resurrected by the Spirit, and by that same Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, Jesus long ago in the days of Noah had been preaching to the people who are now in prison awaiting judgment. And when you interpret it that way, all of these problems as to, you know, why would Peter say this disappear. So I'll talk more about this. We might look at one other issue related to Jesus on the cross tomorrow. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.